The following podcast is a part of the Spin Studio Network. She's one of the world's most influential names in fitness, listed among the AFR's Young Rich List, Forbes, and partnered with identities like Khloe Kardashian and Good American, boasting more than 15 million followers across the globe. With a family, an empire, and dumbbells in hand, Emily has made her dreams into reality, and she's here to show that you can too. This is the You Can Podcast by Emily Sky.
Hello and welcome to the You Can Podcast. I'm here today with my good friend Sam Mankin and long-term manager. And today we're going to be talking about getting started in your fitness journey.
What a topic. I feel like as someone who has started and stopped and started and stopped a few times,
sounds like
I'm an expert of falling off the wagon. It's like a personal therapy session for me today.
Yeah, so you're going to learn a lot, Sam.
Let's hope so. Well, look, I think it's funny. We were talking about sort of having this as our topic for discussion today. And for me, I think that the biggest barrier for people when they're, you know, thinking about getting healthier or getting fitter or whatever is just the idea of how daunting starting is.
Yeah.
And like, I know for me, it's like, oh, it's a Monday. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, it's you know, today maybe Wednesday, and then I'll say to myself, I'll start Monday, which is bad because you give yourself permission, right, to be horrible for the rest of the week.
You're always pushing it back further and further, and before you know it, a year's gone by and 2 years and 3 years and you're still pushing it back.
And then 5 years and then here
yes.
I am. That was like a subtle message for me.
Yeah. You know what's funny though? A lot of people assume that I sort of can do it easily, and I never have those times where I don't feel motivated or ever get off track. And that's not true at all, especially after having Mia. How old is she now? 18 months. 18 months ago. After having her, I have found it a lot more difficult to get myself on track. And it's only recent that I've actually gotten on some sort of track. And I kept doing what you're saying, kept putting it off, saying I'll start next week, or not really giving it 100% and not committing myself to it enough. And I really just had to do it and pretty much do what I tell people to do.
Do you find that, like, separate the two of them, like healthy eating and fitness? Like, I know for you it's become like one piece, like, you know what I mean? It's like healthy living.
But for us
people who are not, it's like it's two separate entities for me. Like, in my mind, I'm like, I'm going to start eating better, and then we'll talk about the gym component later. Like, for you, when you, so say after Mia, did you find that it was like you started eating better first and then back into the gym, or did you start the gym first?
I was trying to do a bit of both at once, because I'm the sort of person that doesn't like to half do things, and I think you're the same, Sam. I don't like to just
And yet do... I half do this regularly.
No, you commit yourself. You're really good. You were smashing those fit workouts. So I like to do everything at once. I feel like if I only do the food component or only the being active component, I just don't give it 100%. I also don't get the results that I want. And what's the point of doing something if you're not going to see or feel results? So I just started doing both, but kind of gradually. I didn't want to shock myself too much. And because it was still fairly early days, I was only 6 weeks postpartum, so I still had to eat enough to, you know, fulfill the breast milk, breastfeeding
But can you imagine, right, like you came from prior to Mia. Obviously, you lived a very healthy life. Like, you were in the gym all the time, blah, blah, blah. So, like, you had that basis. And then obviously having me, you know, you put on a lot of weight, et cetera, is a part of all of that. But you had that, like, I've done this before. Like, that was my life before. You're going back to it. Like, what about people who maybe have never, like, lived a healthy lifestyle? You know what I mean? Like, they've always lived, maybe not an unhealthy lifestyle per se, but they've just never really watched what they've eaten. They're holding extra kilos, and they're thinking to themselves, and they have for years, like we all do, oh, yeah, it would be good to lose a bit of weight here and there. How does someone like that get started when they've got no foundation? They've never worked out. They've never counted calories. They've never weighed their food. They've never, like, all this complexity. How do they start?
Well, it is a huge lifestyle change. And I guess in the beginning, many years ago when I first started, I was never healthy before, and I never really trained before. I did a little bit of cardio just to keep skinny because I had this idea of being skinny and that was good. But I didn't know how to live a healthy or active lifestyle. So I still, you know, had, I guess, some sort of idea because I went and studied it, but I didn't make it a lifestyle. It took a while for me to get used to it. So I can imagine that it would be really difficult for someone who's never done it before and they're so used to their ways. And it's like reprogramming yourself. You've got one program that you've been running for your whole life, and all of a sudden you've got to change it. And it's about time and implementing those changes and committing to it. But you've got to remember why you want it, because if it's not powerful enough, your reason for why, you're just not going to pull through because you're not going to want it bad enough.
What was your reason?
I wanted to mentally feel good and feel confident and feel energetic and happy.
Were you driven by the mirror? Like, I know that obviously, like, this perfection, and obviously you're the first person to step on this idea of stereotypes and blah, 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 and, you know, be honest and whatnot. But, like, all of us have a moment where we look in the mirror and we're like, oh, I would love to look more like this person or that person.
Of course. And I think when people say they don't care about how they look, I don't believe them. I don't think it's...
Well, it's garbage, right? Like, it's absolute rubbish.
I think everyone would prefer to look, you know, a certain way or look a little bit better. And I just don't think...
100%. It's just what is better though, right? Like, that's...
It's different to everyone, but I don't think you should, I guess commit to a sort of lifestyle that is detrimental to your health. I think that your health has to be important.
But what do you mean by that?
So a lot of people will focus on the way they look and they'll do things to, which I've done it before, but they'll do things to look a certain way and they won't be actually be healthy doing it. So back when I first started, I actually competed in fitness comps and I had to get super lean and build muscle. And what I had to do to get there wasn't healthy, and it was probably mentally unhealthy for me. Because you're so strict, you're watching what you're eating, you're not allowed carbs, you're having to train for hours and hours every day. It's not sustainable at all. You feel horrible. But then I looked really lean and had muscle on me, and people would say, oh, you look amazing, or you're the picture of health I'd get all the time.
Yeah.
And I'd think, I'm actually not that healthy. And this is a long time ago when I first
started. Do you think the idea of, like, talking about people who are, you know, wanting to look a certain way, et cetera, and we all, like we just said, we all want to look sort of better, which is probably the wrong word to use, but, like, you know, some version of ourselves that is better. But do you think, like, I know a lot of people who use images of celebrities, or, like, they use photos. I mean, some people can have photos of themselves and they're skinnier. Some of us don't have that benefit, like myself. But, you know, do we have, like, do you think that's a positive thing to do, like putting up photos of, you know, inspiration, if you will, or do you think that's too damaging?
I think it depends on the person. I think if you're putting up unrealistic images, then yes. And what's unrealistic? Well, not being yourself is unrealistic. But you can look at someone who's got a similar body type to you and use them as inspiration to become the best you can. So
you're realistic
of it.
Though, like, really?
Well,
like,
I
no
did
one's
it.
Looking at, like, celebrities and being like, oh, is it a similar body type? Most people are being like, she's perfect right now, like Candace Swanepoel, like Hailey Bieber.
I think you've got to be self-aware and realize how far you can take it, and that you can only change it
Certain
amount. So if you're healthily, and this is hard because it's going to be different for everyone, but I still have people that I look at today, and because they are fit and healthy, they might be a lot taller than me, or, you know, have bigger hips or whatever it is, but I still use them as motivation for me to achieve my best. So it depends on the person and how you look at it, but I don't think you should ever have an idea of, or have someone of how you want to look and look to them and go, I'm going to work towards that and I'm not going to stop till I get there, because that is just not going to happen.
Yeah, totally. And for me, right, like, I was in my head, I don't know why, but whenever I think about, like, your fan base, because it's so broad, obviously, you know, we're talking people in middle America and through London and Australia, etc. I always have this idea in my mind of this, and this isn't a real person, like, I don't know this person, they may not even exist, but I had this idea of this single mum in, like, an Arkansas, like a somewhere like that, that's, you know, got, like, three or four kids and is, like, single mum at home. She's the main breadwinner and blah, blah, blah. And she's, you know, watching your content and thinking, yeah, I would love to live a happier and healthier life. And, you know, she's looking at your photos on the beach and blah, blah, blah. And, like, visually and conceptually, that's what so many people want. But how does someone like that, in, you know, time poor, so much going on, financially can't afford to go out and maybe even get a gym membership, who knows? But what is the first step that that person takes? Like, realistically speaking, tomorrow they wake up, what's the first thing they do if they are going to change their life for the better in terms of health and fitness?
I think they've got to look at what they're actually able to do and what things they can do to change right in this moment. So what tools have they got? What can they access? Do they have a gym? Do they have a park nearby? Do they have rollerblades? Like, what do they have that they can use to get themselves moving that's not going to cost them anything, whatever their limit is? And or if it's like, say, they're living in the snow or something, they can't get outdoors. You've got to look at what you can do. What can you do in the lounge room with no equipment? We have access to the internet now. Most people have access to the internet. If they know me, then they must have some sort of access.
Yeah.
But there's always a way to do it. And of course, it's going to be a lot harder for some people. I totally get that. But there is a way if you really want something, you just look at what you can do to change.
If you're going to do one or the other, right? Like, and you know, I'm speaking probably, I mean, from obviously my own experiences, but I'm speaking for someone who, like I said, is really starting out. Like, it's the very beginning. They've not done this before. Should they be trying fitness first, or should they be trying food first?
I would look at food first.
You think food? Because the adage is like, I don't even know what the number is, but it's like 80, it's 80-20, right? 80% food, 20% fitness, and everyone's like, abs are made in the kitchen, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it's roughly that.
Is that real?
Definitely. And I know even with myself, I can be training really hard and consistently, but if I'm not eating right for my body, I won't see changes. It just doesn't happen. So then you change
the food first.
Strongly believe that food is, and because that's what you're eating to fuel yourself, and you're putting in your body, and so your body runs, you know? So if you're putting crap in there, it's not going to run very well. It's like a car, I'm putting crappy petrol in it.
And what do you think? And, you know, it's so funny, like that's actually like a really good analogy to talk about fuel. Like some people, sure, if you put regular unleaded petrol in your car, it's better for it than, ethanol. 10% ethanol fuel, but at the end of the day, you look at the price of the Bowser, and it's like I would rather have that 10 cents in my pocket. You know, people cut corners, and I think in this space, it's the most cut corners you'll have in your life, right? Like there's very few places you'll cut corners quite like your health and fitness. So if someone wants to make one change that's going to make some difference, substantive, right? Like the first change, you're saying it should be food to start with.
Yep.
What is that change, right? So we're talking about someone who is regularly eating, junk food, if you want to call it that, fast food features in their diet regularly, et cetera.
Yeah.
Are we talking about like, let's stop eating McDonald's or, takeaway foods? That's the first step. Is that too big? Where is the start here?
I would look at what you're eating consistently that you know is unhealthy. So if it is McDonald's, or if you're drinking a sugary drink, or I won't say brands, but you know what I'm talking about, those sugary drinks and those cans. If you're having those a lot, that would be my first thing to cut out, because a lot of people drink a lot of sugar. So even just making that change is going to, you'll actually
impact. Do you think that's the nastiest, like in terms of like, things affecting your, whether that be your fat, your body fat or whatever?
I think it's one of them, those drinks that are full of all the sugar that you don't really think about, and it's not filling you up either, so you're not getting fuel from it, really. You might get a bit of a sugar hit, but that crashes.
What about the debate between like, should they, so let's say they're going to McDonald's, they're getting a Coke and their meal, whatever.
Yeah.
Should they be swapping to Coke no sugar, or you're saying go completely?
I'm not really big on the no sugar stuff, but I know people that do have it and it's a lot better than having the sugar. So I think if you can go without having the sugar, you're probably better off, but water, of course, is going to be the best option there.
Okay, so that's the first
boring old water.
Yeah, that's it.
You get
it.
Used to it, trust me.
I mean, you regularly, squeeze lemon in or lime in or things like that.
You can add plenty things in it.
You have to be careful though, right? Because of like the teeth situation, that's the thing. Like if you're squeezing real lemon,
use a paper straw.
Use a paper straw. Oh, yeah, because it bypasses your teeth.
It bypasses the front. And then just drink some plain water after the flush it out. But the trick is to don't brush your teeth straight after having anything that's like acidic, like your lemons.
Interesting.
Yeah, because it can corrode your teeth or something. I don't know.
Oh, the not enamel, a dentist. Who knows? The enamel, must get a whatever. Dentist on. Episode 2, dentist. Dental hygiene.
Can we get our teeth whitened?
So we've got that. So from there on, are you thinking it's like a daily thing? You know what I mean? Is it like on a Monday you're cutting out soft drink, on a Tuesday?
I think it's going to be different for everyone. It's really hard to say because I do things my way and it works for me. Someone else does it another way. Other people love tracking their calories or tracking their macros.
But don't you think it's true to an extent to say that like if someone's seeking out this help, their way doesn't work?
No, their way doesn't work, and they need to find a way that will work. But it's whatever. It's not what works for them. It's what they're going to do, what they're going to work for. You know what I mean? How they're going to fit that into their life. So I think cutting out processed foods, having foods that are closest to their natural form, like your fruits and veggies and meats and seafood and nuts and seeds and things like that. Personally, I always drop the carbs. I love minimizing the carbs, and I feel amazing when I eat like that.
We're talking about carbs, like a lot of people probably know what that is, but like, what are carbs?
Carbohydrates are like your bread, pasta, potatoes, even sweet potatoes, pumpkin, have I missed anything? Rice, did I say that? All the foods that are like the yummy foods, you know, pasta, pizza, all that yummy stuff.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Of course.
Like all the good stuff.
Chips and things.
Yeah. And then, of course, carbs. You were talking about soft drinks, like the sugars in carbs. Like
yeah, that, so sugar still is a carb. It's the same thing. The only difference is when you have sugar, it's faster acting in your body, so your body uses it as energy straight away, whereas carbs process a little bit longer than
yeah,
sugar.
Right. So cutting out carbs is what you prefer to do.
That's what works for me and I feel my best. I also, as you know, have gut problems. So yep. As soon as I start reducing the carbs, I don't cut them out completely, but I reduce them a lot and then up the fats because you can't just cut carbs and leave the fats really low. I strongly believe that you need to bring those fats up. And when I do that, I feel the best and I lose fat very fast.
And so is it necessary, do you think, to substitute things? So if we're talking about like, say someone's having, you know, a chicken schnitzel and chips for dinner tonight, right? They're making it at home. Yum. Let's take the chips, delicious. You know, you're taking the chips away, right?
Because
that's a really, obviously the breading on the schnitzel is going to be a carb, but let's take the chips away because that's the heavy carb on the plate.
Yeah.
Like how essential is it that it's being replaced by like green vegetables as opposed to just like take the carbs away and just have the chicken? Because I feel like in those early stages, right? So like I do keto is the only way that I can diet, as you know, because it allows me to eat high fat and I can still eat a lot of the stuff that I like and blah, blah, blah. But that's just me, obviously, because you've got to cut out basically all of your carbs and all of your sugar. But for me, I know that like if you're used to eating a lot of food and then all of a sudden you take the chips away and you're just eating the chicken, you're just going to be hungry and that's going to lead you to snack, right?
Yeah.
Like there's no...
I'd rather you add a bit more protein, like more meat to it. If you can't do vegetables or salad and you physically can't eat it, I actually don't enjoy salad. Don't like it, never have. And I occasionally
eat
it.
How do you like, is it a dressing that you add to make it more palatable?
You can add things like that. Obviously, you've got to be conscious of what is in the dressing. So if it is high in sugar, usually it's high in something, either fat or sugar or both. But just be aware of what you're putting on. So for me, I would rather take out the chips but then add a little bit of like sauce or something to the protein that I'm eating to make me able to eat it, you know, more easily so it's more palatable.
Yeah. Palatable. And what – so like for me, I know that, you know, when I diet, I don't diet. I think I call my diet like a disappointing diet to you because there's so many ways in which it could be better, but it's not. For example, I will still have tomato sauce, for example, but I'll buy that one that's like no added sugar, no this, no that. So it's like pretty low in carbs, but it's still garbage. Like I know that, like they're creating that
but
taste.
But it's better
like
than
falsely.
What you would be having.
Yeah, but it is better. Should people be doing that? Like is it cheating?
I think that whatever you can do to make your life better and make your diet better, then do. And it's about small steps, I think, for most people, especially if you haven't done it before. I know me personally, I could just switch and eat incredibly healthy just like that if I wanted to. I don't want to. This is a lifestyle for me. So I do have, you know, things that you're talking about, like sauces and things like that. And you and I both make this delicious pizza that we put in the air fryer that's incredible, but it's lower carb because we're using a lower carb base and things like that. So I would rather people make those small changes that they know they can commit to and they will commit to it and not fall off a wagon. Because if you tell someone that's never eaten healthy or been active before to go and eat salad with like steamed chicken in it every day, not that I'm saying
well,
to do that.
Well, that's it,
but
right? Like that's what I feel like whenever people talk about it. And I mean, I feel like I know you so well, so like I don't need to hear about your ethos and whatnot.
Yeah.
But there must be so many people that just think of you as like all you eat is broccoli and steamed chicken and like blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and like you love salads. And there's got to be so much of that sort of perception, I guess, around this whole culture. But, you know, for somebody who, you know, and this is what's so hard, and I know you keep saying like it's got to be right for you. And I think that's what's so difficult. It's like you've got to find what's actually right for
it's
you.
Trial and error too.
100%.
But you've just got to start something.
Yeah, totally.
And then you can change it along the way if it's not working.
Because what do you think about like a shake diet?
I would say no.
Why?
Because you're not getting real food. You're not getting the nutrients you need. It's what I call like fake food and it's got fillers and things in it. You don't actually know what is exactly in it either.
Yeah.
And a lot
of it is hard to sustain as well, right?
Exactly. It is hard to sustain. However, sometimes, you know, it's necessary for some people to have a shake here and there. So, for instance, if you've just trained and you're going somewhere and you're starving and you haven't had time to eat, then I'd rather you have something than nothing. So
Do you think about swapping out like one meal a day for a shake or something like that?
If you've never done anything before, you've never changed your lifestyle before, your eating or anything like that, and you can commit to it, you could try that. and then switch to eating real food. But personally, I would prefer you eat real food than shakes. That's just my opinion.
What do you think, you know, when you look at your community, obviously it's very large, and you know, your forum and whatever you have that you engage with your members of your Fit program, what do you feel like is the biggest barrier to people's success? Like, they begin and they fall off, or you know, what is it do you think is causing that big
fall? They give up too soon. So they have this idea in their head that they're going to lose pretty fast, because unfortunately and fortunately, some people lose very fast and the other people are watching them going, why aren't I losing as quickly? Everyone's obviously different. They're going to lose at different rates, and they have different starting points. But I think they see people, you know, getting results and they're not. And then they go, I'm not getting results. I can't do this. And it is demotivating. I've done it before as well. Even just recently, I've just upped my training to be more intense, and I've cleaned up my diet a bit, and I'm getting changes now, but it did take me a little bit to start to see changes, because you're looking at yourself every day, you can feel yourself every day, you think, I'm not changing, you know, it's not working. And I was even saying it to myself, and I know better, but I went, no, stick to it, you keep doing it, and I pulled through and got there. But this is the thing, I know that if I stick to it, I will get results. So I've been there and I've done it before, so I know. If you haven't done it before, you don't know if you're going to get the results, and it is hard to stick to.
Well, that's
the
hard part, right? And none of it's fast.
No, like, you might lose. It's a lifestyle. It's a change.
Yeah.
Long term.
That's the biggest issue, I think, I find, that it's not, you can't affect a change within 7 days, within 10 days. Like, you know, there are small changes that you're going to see, but there's nothing major.
And it's so hard at the beginning, because you have it's a real thing to be addicted to sugar too. So you're getting those cravings.
Oh, it's so real.
Oh my gosh.
Because,
even,
you know,
I got
when
it.
I go into, like, if I do keto, right, and you go into ketosis or whatever, you know, that period where your body changes over, like, you feel it.
Your body doesn't want to go into fat burning.
No.
It wants to stay burning off those carbs.
It's actually
makes you crave more to stop it.
It's incredible. Yeah.
Like, but once you know the science behind it, I think it makes it easier to stick to, because you go, okay, I know that this is happening because of this, and I'm going to get results just over the
Well, it's corner. I think for me anyway, I think it's, you know, having been through it before, you know what's coming.
Yeah.
Day one is headache. Day two, you know what I mean? Like, you know.
Sounds
the
great.
Step. Yeah, like, it's
Sign
horrifying.
Sign up today, everyone.
It's not ideal, but, and what about if someone is, like, you know, for me, for example, I'm eating keto, or someone's, you know, making these small changes in their life, they're moving towards a healthier lifestyle. How much is their journey hastened, or results, you know, sped up by adding training into the mix?
A lot, I think. I think it is. It's just
in
that,
what
that
way?
Obviously, your diet's going to get the biggest results when losing fat, but when shaping your body and creating that definition in your muscle. So when you see someone, or when someone uses the term toned, they want to be toned, that's actually having muscle and less body fat. So it's a bit of both. Obviously, training is going to burn body fat, and it's going to build muscle at the same time, and then your diet's going to burn body fat. So if you're combining the two, you're just going to speed up that process, because especially if you're doing strength training, weightlifting, which is intense, you're going to start building muscle, and to build muscle, you need energy, and you're going to convert energy that you've got that's stored, which is your body fat. So you're going to use that as energy so that you can make that muscle and keep that muscle and sustain the muscle and, you know, be able to get through your workouts and get through your day. So you're actually at a heightened metabolic rate when you lift weights and do high intensity stuff.
What do you think is what is the bare minimum when it comes? Like, what is the point where you're just wasting time versus you're actually doing something?
I think if you're just going through the movements, it's a waste of time. If you're on the phone or you're talking to someone while you're training, I think you're wasting your time. I think you need to be very out of breath. You need to push yourself. You need to see that heart rate go up. I wear a heart rate monitor, so I know what my heart's doing, and I sort of use that as a guide, so I know how hard I'm pushing, and I like to keep my heart up pretty high. Obviously,
like, you often say to people, like, go for a walk, or, you know.
It's better than nothing, though. I'm never going to sit here and say your walking is a waste of time, because obviously getting outdoors, moving is good for you. It's good for your digestive system. It's good for your mental health. You're going to feel better. But if you're doing it because you think it's the best way to burn fat or to get toned or to build muscle or whatever it is that your goal is.
No, of course
it's not.
But if someone's out there walking right now, like, they're listening to this and they're out walking.
You're doing a great job.
Go you. Yeah. We're sitting down inside.
Exactly.
What do you think, like, do they need to be mentally saying to themselves, like, what is the check? Like, I'm not out of breath, or, like, I'm not, you know what I mean? Like, they're walking along. Are they dawdling? Like, how do they know if they're just dawdling?
Set goals,
I mean, you should know, I guess.
For themselves. So there's a few different ways to do it, obviously. You could do it for time. So you say you measure out how far you're going and you're doing like 5Ks or whatever it is. I'm not saying you need to do 5Ks, but say that's what you're doing, that's your goal. Then you go, okay, I want to reach that 5Ks in what, like a half an hour or whatever it is, 40 minutes. Half an hour would be pretty fast, but 40 minutes if you're walking, say if you do 5Ks and it's not, there's not many hills, like work out what it is, where you want to get to, and then work out goals so that you can achieve it, so you're not sort of lagging. And like, yeah. I know if I get on, I've got this Air Assault Runner, it's called, at home. And if I get on there and I'm on my phone, like sometimes I do work on there as well, and I'm online, I will forget what I'm doing and I'll just start going slow. And I look at the thing and I'm like, okay, I've done like half what I should have done. So you've got to be
conscious. Literally me driving. Do you know what I mean? Like,
you're driving, like, everyone watch out.
Like, you're driving, you're like half an hour into, you're like, how did I get here?
Yeah,
how did I get here? Sometimes you get home from my office and I'm like, I don't remember a lot of those turns.
Yeah.
Do you ever get that?
Yeah, once I took a flight to what I thought was Brisbane, and I got off at Gold Coast, and I was like, this is years ago before I lived here.
You boarded the wrong flight.
And I went and got in the taxi, and I told them where I wanted to go, and they were like, that's going to be like $300. I was like, what? It's just around the corner. You're on the Gold Coast. What? Yeah. So I've done that before. I don't know how the hell it happened.
Okay, that was more substantial than what
someone
I had
done. Someone else booked the flight for me, though, and I wasn't even looking. I was just like, whatever, earphones in. Like, yeah.
I do it like it's – because then you stop and you think to yourself, like, have I got – like, is that scary for everyone that I was driving
sometimes
around?
I think that, like, your subconscious mind is taking you places. And
well, if it's, like, the same route that you drive all the time, so, like, no doubt. But anyway, that was just an aside for no reason. Yeah.
Okay, let's stop for a minute and talk about Frank Body.
Oh, there are some days when this brand comes up and I'm like, no.
Like every day.
Because I have been sent out on a mission in the past to
you go for
this.
You, Sam. Because you know you want it.
You have converted me, which isn't ideal now because I don't need any other things to be purchasing in the skincare world. But tell me a story. Which product are you specifically referring to?
Well, I love the original face scrub. So obviously it's made from coffee and I love the smell of coffee for one.
Like a face, like, so it's like a cleanser moment?
No. So you cleanse your face first and then you use the scrub, which will exfoliate dead skin and make your skin really smooth and soft and glowy.
I don't use a scrub on my face. You should. I feel like I'm about to be a little less light.
You should
in the
use
pocket.
This one because it's so good. It feels amazing. And I just love, you know, how your skin isn't all, I hate having dead skin in my face. And when I put makeup on, yes, it just looks really bad. But if I've used this face scrub, my skin's just perfect for putting makeup on and it goes on.
Does it smell
so
like
well.
Coffee?
It smells like coffee and I want to eat it.
Oh,
I have tried it, to be honest.
I'm right into that. You know what I actually love about Frank Body? It's another Australian success story. And you know me, I'm right into an Aussie business success situation. It's made in Australia, right? Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
100%. I'm actually reading because they've given us some notes here for me to have a bit of a look-a-roo at here.
Yes.
We're talking today specifically because it's coming to the holidays. Love that. We're talking specifically about their holiday kits because they've launched holiday kits so that you can buy and get like multiple things together and it's like a good price. You know what I mean? Hello.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love a good price?
And it's a Scrub Heroes kit.
Scrub Heroes.
Yes. Love
so
it.
So that's got the hair. I'm reading this. It's got the hair scrub in it. It's got the face scrub and it's got the body scrub.
Yeah.
I've used their body scrub so many times.
Yes.
And I am right into them.
Oh, I love it. It makes such a difference on your skin when you get rid of that dead skin.
I haven't tried the hair scrub though. I'm right into that
you
idea.
You have to give it a go.
Oh, I'm honestly, I have so many things for skincare, but I'm so into it. Because you know when you use it, I like a product that you get an immediate result out of.
Yeah, I think everyone does.
100%. But do you know what I mean? When you scrub, like your skin, you immediately feel
instantly
smoother. It's beautiful.
Yeah, and it's invigorating too because of the coffee. Coffee is actually really good for your face. I used to make my own scrubs at home years ago with coffee in it.
Really?
Yeah, like coffee and honey or something. I used to put
leftovers.
That on my face. It's a nightmare though because it makes a mess and Declan gets so angry when I leave a mess.
You're not good when
it's
you're
like,
making
what have you been
things?
Doing?
You're not good at all when you make things.
Yeah.
But no, I'm a big fan of this. It's good also because it's just, it's got, because I have oily skin, but I do notice for me that it's got like a light oil to it that just sort of leaves you feeling a bit more hydrated, not like your skin is just like dead raw.
Yeah, so it moisturizes it.
Yeah, I'm right
yeah,
into
rather
it.
Than
but
it
I haven't
leaving
tried the face scrub. I'm immediately into that.
Yeah.
So we're absolutely doing that. Give us a bit of a hot tip, Emily Skyfit. Where exactly can the people go if they would like to join us in their endeavors to join the Scrub Heroes? Oh, I'm just like creating our own little team for the Scrub Heroes.
Well, you can go to frankbody.com. So that's www.frankbody.com
And that is spelled F-A. Oh, no, it's not. You spell it, Sam.
F-A.
No.
Sweet F-A.
I just wanted you to say it. No, it's F-R-A-N-K and then body. I think everyone can spell body, right?
B-O-D-Y.
That's
and
right.
And then it's / You Can by Emily Skye. So if you head there, frankbody.com/ You Can by Emily Skye, you can see all the new holiday kits from Frank Body. And you can
have
join
beautiful
us.
Beautiful skin.
Join us as a scrub hero.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to Instagram scrub. This up a storm. Need in my life.
Now we can sing Scrub It Up. Scrub. Isn't there a song or something? Or am I making
that
up? Is
that TLC Scrubs?
I think so.
Is that TLC?
Is that what's in my mind?
I don't know.
I get the words wrong.
Too good. You often talk about people setting goals and sort of keeping up with your goals and, you know, having something sort of visual of that you know that you're going to achieve. Yeah. What is a realistic goal? Because most people that, you know, I see, especially when you look online, you talk to people, it's like, I'm going to lose 40 kilos this, you know.
Well, that could be their ultimate goal, but you don't know, like, you don't know how much you're going to lose. You don't know what that looks like or feels like. For me, as you know, I gained weight in the beginning. So I was a certain weight and I ended up gaining roughly 10 kilos in muscle. Because I was very skinny before, although I looked more toned. So that's the thing. Muscle weighs more per area than what fat does. So sometimes you might gain. So I don't think having a number as your goal is the right way to go about it. Some people might use it as a rough guide initially, but really I wouldn't look at that. I'd probably go by measurements, measuring your body or doing a DEXA scan where they actually work out how much body fat you've got and they're measuring
it
that way.
That's just not a real
but it's
thing,
a bit complicated, isn't it? Like, who can be bothered, really?
Literally,
unless
like a DEXA scan. I was like, that sounds complex. I'm
unless
out.
Unless you're competing, though. But I would go
do
by
they do that
in a
drive-through fashion? Because I'm really familiar with that.
Just go by how you're looking, like seeing those changes. Obviously not looking with a microscope going, am I losing?
But do we look like in a week? Is it like a like, you know what I mean? Like, what is the actual...
It's tough because even with me to start with, I try not to look at myself because I get annoyed. I go, I'm not changing. Why bother? Sort of thing.
Yep.
So I want to cut that out so I don't pay attention to how I'm looking. And I might give it a few weeks and then I look in the mirror and go, oh, I'm actually changing, or my clothes are fitting me a little bit better. It's a bit looose around the middle. And
I mean, you can't
like
wait
that.
A few weeks. That's so long. Like, if you're starting, like, if I'm eating a salad, I better be seeing something
you're
in 7 days.
You're there in the mirror measuring.
It's like, I know when you like throw out the scales, I'm like, I'm buying a more advanced scale because I want to know that it's
that's
right.
That's the thing. Like, if you're going to commit to this change, you know the beginning is the hardest and you've got to get over the start. Just that start, the few weeks of where it's really tough, providing you're really committed to it and you're sticking to everything, you will start seeing and feeling changes. If anything, you're going to feel a lot better.
Well, look, I know for me, like, again, keto, I just don't think keto is a good example of the average person because it's quite an aggressive diet. Personally, I think it's the easiest way to diet in the world.
Me too. I don't do like the strict keto, but as you know, I lower the carbs and I
high fat. Yeah.
Fat's high and I feel my absolute best. My gut's amazing on it.
Yeah.
And I lose fat very fast.
And I think the more that you look into it, and I think this is going to be a whole episode because I think there's so much to learn about it. But I think when you look at keto, once you really get into it, there's a lot you can eat.
There's like a lot you can eat, especially if you want to go out.
Yeah.
It's very easy.
Well, for me, right, and I think this is, I know that like very early on in my life, well, not very early on, I'm making it like I was 6, but like early on in terms of my dieting journey where I was looking at like dieting, trying to lose weight here and there after school and whatnot. You know, I would look at things and you would sort of go, this is annoying because like I'm going to go out with friends. And I don't want to know. Yeah, I don't want to ask them like what's in the sauces. And I don't want to like how much is the meat
weigh.
You'd
be that person.
Do you know what I mean?
No one wants to go out with you next minute you're left
literally.
At home alone.
And usually the waitress and waitress don't want to talk to me anyway because I'm a runner. But
that's
a totally different story. No, do you know what I mean? Like I think for me that's why I liked keto because you're kind of well informed in terms of like, you look at the menu, it's pretty easy.
Yeah.
The pasta, I can't eat that. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's
very
fast. All
the carbs have to go. And then I always say dressings on the side and I'll taste it. If it tastes really sugary, then I know there's sugar in it. And it doesn't mean I don't have it. I just don't go crazy with it.
Yeah. See, and that, like, that's even more strict than I like to be. You know what I mean? Like, if I order a Caesar salad, which I can have on keto.
Well, it's high-fat dressing anyway.
Yeah, I just think to myself, like, you know, it's probably, it could be a bad one. Like, you win some, you lose some.
Exactly.
But, you know, I think for people who are sort of starting out, like, I know with keto, I can see results within 7 days. Like, literally, you see it. Especially because you lose your water weight. You know what I mean? Like,
well, I just started doing the low-carb, high-fat literally a week ago and... Not that I go by scale, so I don't take this that way, but just out of curiosity, I wanted to see how much fluid I was holding, everything, 3 kilos.
It's crazy, isn't it? But, you know, like, I, you know, I know that you say don't go by the scales, and I understand why you say it, and I get the value behind it because it's not always telling you the truth. The amount of times people have said to me, who friends and whatnot, I've not lost any weight, and it's like, yeah, but you've lost inches, and you're like, the body is so bizarre. But the reality is, I own a scale, and I'm checking it regularly.
And you're excited if you drop.
100%.
But what happens if you don't drop, if you go up?
Well, I think that's, and you know what you were saying before, like, it's you've got to know yourself.
Yeah.
For me, if I don't lose weight in a week, am I disappointed? Like, sure, but I'm sort of like, yeah, I get there's anyway. More happening. Do you know what I mean? There's more. I think
we
it just
have
comes
knowledge.
Down to the, yeah. I think it kind of comes down to the type of person that you are. If you know that you're going to be very sensitive based on the scale, I think you need to be, and that, like, it's like children for me. I feel like it's more education, not just like take the scale away.
Exactly.
Like,
you've got to be responsible and learn how to deal with it.
100%. Because I think otherwise, this idea of, like, avoid the scale. How else do you know?
This is the thing, and that's why, like, I've got scales at home, and I have weighed myself a few times just because I was curious about the drop that the just taking out a lot of the carbs would make. And it's for my own, like, knowledge too, so I can tell other people about it. But I know what happens, and I know that I know very well that I might lose and then I might gain and I might be more toned and feel better, but then I might be heavier because I'm doing a lot of weightlifting, and obviously that's drawing fluid and blood into the muscle, and you're going to weigh more. So there's all these things at play, and there's so much happening. There's that time of the month as well for women. So you can't be so caught up where you just – the scale's everything and you
– If someone's starting – I wouldn't know this obviously, but if someone's starting out, would you say they should avoid that time of the month to start?
To start exercising, eating healthy.
Like, if they're going to start, if they're going to change their, you know, like, and I think this is a bad thing, and I think everyone does it. You
I wouldn't say avoid it because it happens every month.
Of course, but, like, is that the hardest time to start, do you think?
It depends on the person. Again, like, if someone's got really bad monthly and they're in a lot of pain and they're, like, really bloated, and, like, I've got a friend who's that bad, sometimes she goes to hospital. So it's probably not a good idea to start then. However, long term, moving a little bit does help, and he's proven to help with it.
Yeah, okay. And what do you think
about...
I'm
not saying go hardcore in the gym, but just go for a walk or something, just get moving. Yeah.
What do you think about replacements of things? Because I've always thought myself, like, so, you know, in terms of, like, diet foods, like, you can buy a rip-off chocolate for keto, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's low carb and you can enjoy whatever. For me, I've always found that if I have that, it just makes me think about chocolate, so I just don't have it.
Yeah.
Do you, you know, if someone is starting out and they're sort of at the very beginning of their journey and they are addicted, like you said, should they seek these replacements?
I think it is so hard because I'm the type of person, and I'm probably similar to you, I'd rather not have anything there. I'd rather not have the fake chocolate. I want the real thing at the end of the week or whenever it is, or after 2 weeks.
Because we're all the same, right? I think regardless of any type of person, if you have the fake chocolate, you're thinking, does this taste like the real thing? Is that like, oh, it's not the texture?
And then you're not really satisfied because it's not hit the spot, you know? Because you know it
never
just
hits the spot.
No. And also, like, there's another thing there too, and this is, like, probably going too far off, but with, like, the fake sugars, the artificial sweeteners and stuff, they can actually make you crave the real thing more.
Yeah, right.
They've done studies on it, so.
They can also cause some other things if you have them in too
much.
Don't
know how true it is. Oh, yeah, you might be on the toilet all day.
So true. I literally, like a year ago, I think it was, a friend of mine was doing it with me, and she had, like, discovered these lollies.
Oh,
and so
you showed me some lollies.
Oh, my God. And, like, I had them, and I was like, this tastes like the real thing. Like, I was literally blown away. Like, what even? It's not the sort of thing that I would normally eat, but I was like, wow. And then, you know, we bought, like, everything in that range.
And you ate the whole packet and spent the next
day on the toilet? No, I sampled from each packet. But combined, it must have added up. Anyway, I wasn't well that night or anything, but it didn't, like, I wasn't, like, dying or anything. Anyways, then I Googled it. Oh, my God, the reviews are the funniest things you've ever read in your entire life. People who were like, how dare you sell these on the supermarket shelves? Oh. I was stuck on the toilet for a week. Like, calm down.
But would they actually, if it was real, like, real sugar, would they eat the whole packet? Maybe they would, but...
I mean, definitely.
Like,
hi, I've been there. What do you mean, would they eat the whole packet? Who are you, amateur hour? Yeah, right, sorry, full block of chocolate. Where are you? I melted it on my ice cream.
That's the real thing. And I'm not a big lolly person. I'm not at all. Like, I don't care about lollies.
But chocolate.
Chocolate, yeah, that's okay. How long
if I travel with chocolate, you're the first to go for it.
And And I had my treat on Friday night. It's usually treat night. Sometimes it pushes over to Saturday. But, treat night's Friday.
I did that as well.
Don't tell anyone.
It was 2002, I think, and that's been pushed over and we've kept going.
And we've just kept going. Yeah, yeah. But you've got to put a stop to it though, because I think that's a thing. Like if you have your treat and then you keep going, you just can't stop. And before you know it, life now.
As your motto is, it's not a treat. Sorry, it's not a cheat. It's a treat. Eventually becomes a cheat.
Treat yourself. Yeah.
Eventually the treat
exactly.
turns.
Exactly. But yeah, I easily eat a family sized block of chocolate to myself. Plus a couple of packs of chips. Like I go crazy.
Yeah.
But I just think if you're going to do it properly. Like that's what I think though. I won't have it throughout the week and then
people who don't know me are visualizing me, I'm like the size of a house.
I know,
so good.
And people probably they listen to some of the things I say and don't quite understand it because they don't have the full story. And I guess this is the idea of this podcast too.
It is.
To fill in all the gaps. But I'd rather have I'm not a person to have two pieces of chocolate here and there, stuff that. Nope. I'd rather no chocolate.
Yeah, that's,
two pieces.
That's
come on.
True. You know, people are like wrap up half a Mars bar. Who
save
are
one,
you?
Save
get
one
out
little
of here.
Bit for later. One in the morning, one at night.
Yeah,
no.
Absolutely not.
No, I'd rather just have the whole block on one night.
And do you think, if someone's, this is the big thing, right, when you're falling off the wagon, and we've all been there, where you have, you eat too much, it's over, you've
no,
decided
no, that never
day.
Happens. I never eat too much. No.
So, you decide the day is over, right? You've ruined the diet for the day. You've eaten, you know it's done, right? And you've just gone way over. At what point is, what's your advice to people who are like, oh, it's a Thursday and I've ruined it, so let's kill it off, we'll restart Monday?
What's the advice?
Yeah, what is someone, what's someone's, mental state? They're sitting there, obviously they're
if they think it's like that bank, the thing I'm talking about when they've got money in the bank and you lose $5 or whatever and you go, take
if you had $365 in your
something
bank.
Something like that, they go on about. I would just pick up the next day and just start off fresh and forget about it.
See, and that's where I wonder with people if they think that these, these imagery that they're getting, whether that be Instagram people or famous people or whatever, or whoever people they know, they see that imagery, should they be going, I don't know, it can be damaging for some people, but that's why I think sometimes it can be handy to have some sort of inspiration that's visual and not just mental, because obviously dieting is all mental, right?
Yeah.
And most days the average person most days, our mind beats us. It seems
always.
Ridiculous, but your mind always wins.
Yeah.
And it finds a way to justify eating badly. Mm-hmm. But for me, I wonder, do you think that it is wise to have some sort of external inspiration, physical, tangible thing to look at?
If that's what works to you and it can keep you accountable. So if you've got a trainer or someone that you buddy up with someone and you're both sticking at it together, if that's the way you roll and you can get results that way, then do it. That's not for me. I'm not that sort of person. I can motivate myself and I feel really grateful that I'm able to do that. But it takes a lot of strength. Don't get me wrong. It doesn't come easily.
But where's the changing factor? Because obviously you've talked about the fact that you've also struggled.
Yeah.
Why did you struggle then if you could motivate yourself? What was the deciding moment?
I did what you were saying. I'd justify things and say, oh, look, I can start tomorrow.
Of course, but when did your mind get back in control? How did that occur?
Because I've been there before and I've felt my absolute best before and I know what it feels like and it feels amazing and I want to.
So what do people do if they haven't felt their best
before?
That's
the thing, and they need to know that there is better out there. So they need to realize where they're at now, it's not good enough. They're not happy with themselves, obviously, or they wouldn't be starting or looking to start a different lifestyle. But they need to realize that, hey, I either stay the way I am forever right now and keep doing what I've been doing because that's what has got me here, or I make some changes here and commit to it and know that it's not going to be easy and you know that you've got to get uncomfortable, very uncomfortable, because you're comfortable the way you are, the way you've been, and you just need to commit to it and then know it's going to be hard and it's going to take time, but before you know it, and it really doesn't take that long, but you've got to commit to it, you will start feeling better and then you'll start feeling motivated, and that's when the motivation come. So motivation doesn't come and find you, pick you up and get you out of bed and take you to the gym. You create that for yourself, and every day you've got to create it and remind yourself, why do you want this? Why am I training? It's like me lifting these heavy weights every day. I'm lifting them because I know I feel great and mentally I feel powerful and strong, as silly as it may sound, but I feel like I'm unstoppable and I can do anything.
Yeah.
And it makes me feel confident. So I love that feeling, and it also helps me with, because obviously in the past I've struggled with mental health problems, and this is what keeps me on track and stops me going back to that place. So I know what that feels like, and I don't want to go there. I don't want to go back there.
It's so odd, because I remember even before I'd done longer stretches doing keto, et cetera, like people say you feel better and whatnot. And I think sometimes it's hard to even imagine feeling better. And I don't think you understand.
You don't know what you had.
No, you don't understand how slow and lethargic and sluggish you feel until you feel the other side.
Yeah.
Isn't it so bizarre?
It's like you've just got to believe that it will happen and you have this something, you have something that is better than now. You just have to believe that's out there.
Yeah. And I think that's a hard, and do you think that you need to find a way to is it something that you think you need to handle in the mind first? Or do you think that it is handy having these external tools, whether it be inspiration, photos or whatever? Or do you think
it can be a bit of everything. Maybe you don't need that. Maybe you need one thing. It's whatever you need, but you got to set yourself up to succeed. So the more support that you can get, the better, I think.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and I think support is great.
The more knowledge you have,
I think
it's
hard, though, because, I mean, it's funny, even your forum, for example, I'll read comments in there, and there'll be people who'll, and it actually blows my mind still, blows my mind, that you'll hear women in there who will say, oh, my boyfriend said I've become obsessed, or my family's saying, too far. And you think, wow. You don't have, and I've been very fortunate, my family's very supportive, so I've never had that situation, but you think, what a bizarre thing for someone to sort of knock you down on your journey.
Some people don't have support, and that's the thing, if you have it, then that's great. If you don't, it doesn't mean that you're going to fail and that you're not going to get there. You need to pull that out from you. That's what you need to go, all right, I have had enough with the way I've been so far, and I'm going to make these changes, and then you go, I can do this.
Yeah.
And whatever you need to tell yourself, whatever you need to do to get there, part of it's you're motivating yourself, part of it you're going to robot mode and you're just going and getting it done, you're going through the action of it. Because who wants to go to the gym really? Who wants to put their clothes on and go off to the gym or get up early in the morning and go off there and it's cold or whatever? No one wants to go and do it. But a lot of the time they just do it because they get into a routine, and that's what you're doing. You're creating new routines, a new lifestyle. It's part of your lifestyle. You don't even have to try and make the time to go. It's just part of it. You just know it just happens. But before you know it, though, you do start feeling great and you do start enjoying a part of it. I'm not saying you go and go, I love this workout. It hurts and it feels great. But you get that feeling that I was talking about before, where you feel powerful and unstoppable and you feel motivated and you feel like you can do anything in life. So when you get that motivates
you. And I've always thought in my head anyway, I've always felt like, when I'm eating healthy and I'm, on that sort of journey, if you will, I don't personally feel like the decisions I'm making, like eating, I don't feel good about those decisions at the time. Like, you're like, whatever, drainer. But you know that if I chose something bad, you'd feel bad.
You regret it.
It's not the good feeling, it's the avoiding of the bad almost, is how I've, you think, oh, if I eat that, tomorrow I'm going to wake up feeling so lethargic, I'm just not in the mood.
And when you're starting out too, and you're picking something healthy over something unhealthy, you it's sort of like you're ticking it off. You're going, yes, I did that. I won that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you feel good. And then you go, okay, I'm going to add more to it. When you have something that's not so good, you're like, damn it. I let myself down. And it's not about anyone else. No one else gives a shit about what you're doing.
Literally not at all.
You got to care enough about yourself, you know?
And I think people also need to know, and I think this is one really important thing for people who are trying to start out. Don't look at a calendar and be like, it's a four-way. It's an hour-by-hour battle.
Break it down.
To not pick up a treat, a chocolate, a this, it's an hour-by-hour battle. And everyone is going through the same battle.
Yep.
It's not like, there are some days where I get to the end of the day and I'm like, that was a fucking miracle that I didn't eat something bad today. Like, it's a miracle.
All you want is that bloody chocolate.
Yeah, it's a literal, it's an hour-by-hour thing. I can't even explain it any other way than it's actually
hour-by-hour. And they're
wins, though,
and you got to celebrate those wins.
And I think that's what
we'll
do.
In your head, you go, yeah, I did that, I got through
it. Maybe you need to, release, a board, people can, because, when you do, a checklist, and you cross it off, and you're like, nailed it?
Yeah.
Maybe you need,
But you feel good, and that motivates you to keep going as well.
100%. Well, I think when you get through a whole day and you know that you didn't, you're like, you feel so accomplished the fact that you didn't fold.
Yeah.
Even though at lunchtime you were like, it would be so much easier just to get Subway or something, but it would just be, I think if you're going to eat something that's a bad food and you don't and you get through that whole day, maybe you need a checkbox. Interesting. Well, I feel like we've really gone deep on getting started and how that operates and how
nice
that is.
Nice introduction anyway.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think this is, it's funny because it's the start of your podcast, but it's also, this is the most common part of any fitness journey because so many people, no matter how fit you are, I mean, you've admitted it yourself, no matter how fit you are, you always restart at some stage. You know what I mean?
You can't maintain. It is hard to maintain a certain level. Even what I'm doing right now, as much as I'd love to feel this way forever, I'm not going to be able to maintain it because I'm going to have to travel soon because we have travel coming up and exactly. There's different things that, you know, going to interrupt it. So
yeah. But I mean, to an extent, you're restarting every Sunday or every Saturday, yeah. Friday night, every Saturday
every
you're
time
restarting.
Every time I've got to go, all right, Em, commit now, like get in the yeah. zone, do this.
That's right. Yeah. Because, you know, that Friday night, you had a great time. Saturday morning, it'd be easy yeah. to go and pick up something else delicious.
Can't wait till Friday, treat night again.
Hang on to that.
How many days have we got? Four?
Is it four? Who knows?
We thought it was Tuesday and it's Monday. So
we've lost a day, damn it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much for listening in. Any tips that people have, any suggestions, any content they would like to hear, they should head over to your Instagram and send you a DM or a comment even, I guess.
Definitely. We're open to any ideas and we want to make this as enjoyable and educational as possible for you guys. So make sure you let us know what you think, for sure. And we've got plenty of exciting stuff coming up as well. We have heaps of ideas of what to talk about, don't we?
Well, we've got plenty yeah. to come. Well, you've always
there's
got
so
plenty
much,
to say.
There's so many different things that I want to talk about too, so I'm really excited.
Yeah, and that, I think probably we don't even know how many episodes and how often they will be out because we're just going to try and do as much as we can. But yep. please make sure you are subscribed to the channel on that subscribe button there because we don't want you to miss any episodes that are upcoming. And remember that you can.
You can.
Have a nice day.
Bye. Thanks for listening to the You Can podcast with me, Emily Skye. This podcast is part of the Spin Studio Network. Make sure you hit the subscribe button and I'll be so grateful if you could rate and review my podcast. To stay up to date with me, follow me on Instagram at You Can by Emily Skye and join our closed Facebook group so we can chat. Just search You Can by Emily Skye.